Thank you, Brother Chris. God bless you. Thank you to our accompanist for accompanying him this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. If you happen to be talking to someone later today, and you happen to mention, and if this person is not a Christian and wasn't in church this morning, and you happen to mention that you sang in church the blood medley, they probably will look at you a little strangely. Why were you singing about blood? And you were singing multiple songs together about blood. And yet it is essential to our faith in Christ. We are studying the Gospel of John, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And we began a few Sundays ago in chapter 1 and verse 1. And over these past several Sundays, we have answered a couple of questions. The first one being, who is the real Jesus? Not the Jesus of our culture, not the Jesus of Hollywood, not the Jesus of mainstream media, not even the Jesus of our imagination, but who is the real Jesus? And then last Sunday, we answered the question, are you a child of God? And there is a very specific requirement for you to be a child of God. And it's not simply being a part of the human race, but have you received God's Son, Jesus Christ? That is the requirement for being a child of God. And today we ask another question. And I pray by the end of our time together in a few moments that we'll be able to answer it conclusively. What is so special about Jesus? What is so special about Jesus? I am often amazed, although I shouldn't be, at the providence and sovereignty of God, that we come to today's text in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, and especially verse 14, on this first Sunday of Advent, as we prepare our hearts and minds for the Christmas season. When we celebrate more often than normal the incarnation of God, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh. I wish that I was so intelligent that I could plan such on my own. But you know me well enough to know that I am not. But thank the Lord that He is sovereignly in control over all things. If you have found John chapter 1 and verse 14, I invite you to stand this morning in honor of God's Word. I'll be reading through verse 18, and I would invite you to follow along with me in your copy of God's Word or on the screens behind me. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that Your Son became flesh and dwelt among us. And I pray, Father, this morning that we would have the same testimony that these first century believers had. That we would behold His glory and understand fully and completely what is so special about Jesus. Please give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to Your word. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. What is so special about Jesus? Consider this first reality about the man that we call Jesus here in verse 14. And we think about, number one, His humanity. His humanity. Not 50% God and 50% man, but 100% man and, we'll see in just a moment, 100% God at the same time. John says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Well, we know who He was talking about. If we go back to verses 1 through 5, in the language of the New Testament, this is the divine logos, the Word of God, the mouthpiece of God. And John says, the Word became flesh. Think about that. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, fully human, meaning that He slept and He ate and He drank. And when you eat and drink, consequently, you have to go to the bathroom. And He perspired and He was thirsty and He was hungry. And He fished, and He cooked, and He was a human being. It's not that God left behind His deity for a while, but it's that God took on humanity for 33 years. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Can you imagine living with, in, and around the Lord Jesus? That word dwelt there in verse 14 is the word that we take our English word tabernacle from. And it finds its origin in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34. Listen to this verse. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And so when Jesus Christ tabernacled among us, it was the glory of the Lord. The rest of the New Testament speaks to this truth also. Listen to this passage of Scripture, and you probably are familiar with it as we studied it just a few Sundays ago. At the very beginning of the book of Philippians, Here's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It was his humanity, first of all, that we see this morning, that makes Jesus so special. We're going to sing this Christmas carol tonight in our evening worship. You will probably sing it somewhere between now and Christmas. But Charles Wesley wrote this about the humanity of Christ in that song that we love, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He wrote, listen, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. God with us. What made Jesus so special? Number one, his humanity. Number two, his deity. Again, not that Jesus was 50% man and 50% God, but 100% man and 100% God at the same time. Continue in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, why would they behold or see his glory? What was glorious about Jesus? Well, he was God. If you'll remember back to John chapter 1, verse 1, just a few verses ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ, the God-man, fully man and fully God. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Last Sunday morning, again, we answered that question, are you a child of God? And because so many of you in the congregation have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then absolutely you can answer in the affirmative, I am a child of God. But God only has one son. He has many children. But he only has one son, the only begotten of the Father. And what does that mean? That Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father? It means that he, brothers and sisters, is God. Here's what Paul wrote to the Colossian church. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him, that's Jesus, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's not that he is a little bit God and a lot man, or a little bit man and a lot God. But again, and I say it over and over and over, Jesus Christ, at the same time, 100% man and 100% God. The only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we can know that everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did was right, was righteous, because he is God. What is so special about Jesus? His humanity, his deity. Number three, his superiority. Look at verse 15. John bore witness of him. Now remember, anytime you see the name John in the Gospel of John, it is not a reference to the Gospel's author, John the Apostle, but it is a reference to John the Baptist, the cousin, the older cousin, I might add, by 6 months, of the Lord Jesus. Now keep that in mind, because it is key to understanding what John is about to say. Look at verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said," here's what I said about Jesus, "He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." In the Old Testament culture, the older sibling, the older child, was considered to be superior, the favorite. And you'll remember that John was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. So it would stand to reason that John would be the one who was preferred, that John would be the one who is superior. But that's not what John said. What did John say? "He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." So how was it that Jesus Christ was superior? Because he came before John. But I thought you said, Brother Richard, that John was 6 months older. I did. But also, brothers and sisters, remember that Jesus Christ has always been. And that's what John is saying here in verse 15. The reason that Jesus Christ is superior, and he is the one that I am pointing to and I am proclaiming, the reason that he is preferred is because even though I am 6 months older than him, he has always been. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Continuing in verse 16, "And of his fullness," of Jesus's fullness, "we have all received, and grace for grace." Our English translations have a little difficulty in translating this phrase into understandable language and verbiage that we use. But essentially, here's what John said. When you and I put our faith and trust in Christ, when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, then he imparts on us blessing after blessing. Demonstration of grace after grace. And when one blessing ends, guess what? Another one begins. And when that one ends, guess what? Another one begins. And it's blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace. And what a timely verse for us, brothers and sisters, on the weekend after the Thanksgiving holiday, to be reminded and to think about specifically all of the blessings. Does that mean that there aren't those in our congregation this morning who are hurting? Oh no, it doesn't mean that. There are, for sure. Maybe they're hurting because this is the first Thanksgiving without a certain individual. Maybe they're hurting because they had to spend Thanksgiving alone. Maybe they're hurting this Thanksgiving because their family is at odds with one another. For sure, there are those all across the congregation this morning and joining us online who definitely are hurting. But yet every single one of us who have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, according to John chapter 1 and verse 16, have received of His fullness. Grace upon grace. Blessing after blessing. And I hope that if you haven't already, that you'll take the opportunity to thank the Lord for His grace after grace. We see Jesus' humanity. We see Jesus' deity. We see Jesus' superiority. And then there in verse 17, we're reminded of Jesus' generosity. What makes Jesus so special? His generosity. Especially in light of the law. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. What John is saying there is that Moses is considered to be the primary author of the first five books of the Old Testament. Often just simply called the law. And in the law, there are in excess of 600 individual laws. 600, brothers and sisters. And the expectation, if you were going to earn favor in the eyes of the Lord, is for you to keep all 600 plus, not just once, but for the entirety of your life. Impossible. But notice the rest of verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace. Would you say that with me together this morning aloud? But grace. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ kept perfectly all 600 plus do's and do nots. And He did it for His entire life of 33 years on this earth. He kept the law perfectly. And provided grace for those like us who could never keep the law perfectly, but we've put our faith and trust in the one who has. Listen to what Paul says to the Galatian church. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, therefore the law was our tutor. To bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law reminds us that we are sinners, that we are imperfect, and that we will fail again and again and again and again if we try to earn God's favor by keeping the law. It points us to Jesus. And when we put our faith in Him, then we are justified. That word justified means be made right. And brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one way to be made right with God. There's only one way to impress God. And it's not with our morality. And it's not with our benevolence. and it's not with our ingenuity, and it's not with our financial prosperity. It is through faith in God's Son. It's the only way that God would then in turn be favorable toward us. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus for His generosity in allowing a sinner like me to be saved through my faith in Him. And then finally, in verse 18, what is so special about Jesus? His humanity, His deity, His superiority, His generosity. And then in verse 18, His intimacy. His intimacy with the Father. Now the beginning of verse 18 can seem somewhat confusing. Let me see if I can't clear it up for you a little. John says, no one has seen God at any time. And that is true because God is spirit and you can't see spirit. But he's also saying that no one has ever seen the fullness, the full essence of God, but the only begotten Son, Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. Literally, he has exegeted him. And that word probably doesn't mean a thing in the world to you, but it's simply another way of saying he explains the Father because of how intimate they are with one another. It's interesting that John uses this word and these words and phrases in verse 18. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father is intimate with the Father. John knew about this intimacy because he uses it to describe his intimacy, although it doesn't reach the same level. But he uses it to describe his intimacy with the Lord Jesus. Turn over to John 13. Remember, John the Apostle, the beloved disciple, unnamed in this gospel, he describes himself in verse 23 of John chapter 13. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That was John the Apostle. He was talking about himself. And he was referencing his intimacy with the Lord Jesus. He and the Lord Jesus were the best of friends. But taking it one step further, he talks about Jesus and his relationship with the Father, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. Jesus is so intimate with the Father that whatever the Father says, Jesus says. And whatever Jesus says, you can know that the Father is also saying. And so, what is so special about Jesus? His intimacy and his generosity and his superiority and his deity, and his humanity. And I wonder this morning if you have received him. Have you received him as Lord and Savior of your life? If you have, praise the Lord. Then might we point others to him. As we leave the Thanksgiving season behind and enter the Christmas season, and as we, at the body of Christ, in our community and in our county and in our culture, we most definitely need to remind others the real reason for the season. Let us point people to Jesus. But if you have never received Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, today I would invite you to do so. I would invite you to admit that you're a sinner. and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and in your place for your sin, and confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life. In just a moment, after I finish praying, we're going to be singing all across the auditorium and standing together as we sing. And I'll be here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. And today, if you have never received Christ as Savior and Lord, I would invite you to step out in one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. And let us explain with you and celebrate with you and rejoice with you and pray with you and counsel with you about becoming a follower of Christ. Maybe you're a guest here this morning, and God is leading you and your family to formally unite with Emory Baptist Church. Our invitation will be for you as well. We'd be glad to welcome you this morning. But what's so special about Jesus? John's Gospel tells us. And I hope that you recognize it in your own life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you for your Son Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Your Son is so special because He was fully man and fully God. He has existed from eternity. He is so gracious and merciful. And He speaks for His Father. Lord, I pray that this morning that you would convict those within the sound of my voice of their lostness who have never been saved, and draw them through your Holy Spirit unto yourself, giving them the gift of faith so that they might believe and be justified because of their faith in Christ. Father in heaven, be at work in our midst through your Spirit for those who are saved and those who are not. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Brother Chris comes to lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front to greet you, you come today on the very first stand.